One of the things that I do when I don't feel well is pray in the Holy Ghost. You ever do that? Those that are baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because you will build yourself up. And we need to build our faith up. We need to build ourselves up. And we build ourselves up in the power of the Holy Ghost. What does the Lord say to us as we studied, as Dennis was teaching us the last couple of weeks? All you got to do is ask for it, right, Dennis? You just ask for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Be asked for Him to baptize you in that. Receive that baptism. As an act of submission, you say the words whether you know them or not. I encourage you, church family, seek that. Desire that. Want what the Lord has for you because He has it for each and every one of us, and nobody is excluded from that. So I encourage you in that. Happy New Year's resolution. That's my sermon title today. It always amazes me to watch the New Year's cycle, news cycle from Thanksgiving to spring. It starts off every fall at Thanksgiving time. First comes up the Black Friday sales and how big that is going to be and what needs to be done. And then it's Small Business Saturday. And they talk about that. And then they talk about Cyber Monday. And I think there's a couple of them that they talked about this year that I had never recognized before. Then it goes to how do you return your gifts? You know, if you've got gifts that need to be returned, how you need to return them. And the news cycle goes around that. Then it talks about New Year's resolutions and making New Year's resolutions. And you know what's coming up next? Tax time. They're going to be talking about taxes and what you need to do and all this and that. And you know what's coming after that? The diet plans. Okay? So we're all going to be hearing about the diet plans. How to lose 15 pounds by beach time. Well, number one, I'm not planning on going to the beach, so I don't have to worry about that. And number two, I'm old. I'm a grandpa. In fact, I'm a great-grandpa. So number one and number two disqualify me from having to lose any weight or even think about it. I don't have to. I don't have to. Grandpas and grandmas are supposed to be fluffy, okay? You ever see that picture of that sheep? It says, I'm not fat, I'm just fluffy. And you know, that's kind of how I look at myself. I'm not fat. I'm just fluffy. Someone said to me one day, says, what's the story on the beard? And I said, well, if this preaching thing don't work out, I thought maybe I could get a job as Santa Claus. And who wants a skinny Santa Claus? Okay? So, turn with me to 1 Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. The scripture won't be on the overhead today. I told Leo not to worry about it. I want to thank him and Dave for filling in at the last minute and taking over. Such a good group of people that, hey, I'll just do whatever it takes. We do that with the ushers and the greeters. Hey, I'm missing. I'll fill in. I'll do whatever it takes. And that's what we need to be. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm not speaking loud enough. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. And verse 8 says this. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. That does not say that there is no benefit to exercise, because there is benefit. And yes, our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And yes, we are supposed to take care of ourselves. And if you are in an exercise program, I think it's great and I support you 1,000%. But make sure here you look at the return value. Because when you look at the return value in verse 8, it says, for bodily exercise profits a little bit. You're going to get a benefit out of that. But godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come. And what is that life that is which to come? Our life forever with the Lord. Amen? Yes, you will get a gain, a return, but it's small in comparison to godly exercise. If we back up and we read verse 7, it says, but reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. Godly exercise is not only profitable for the future, that which is to come, but also for the life that now is. So Turn with me. We're gonna come back to 1 Timothy, but turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Just go back a few pages. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. So Colossians 3, verse 1. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things on the earth." Some people would say in our Christian walk, we should have one foot in heaven and we should have one foot here on earth. And I say, let's put both feet in heaven. And when you put both feet in heaven, earth will take care of itself. That's where our focus needs to be as the saints of God today, because this is not our home. And too many Christians are living as if they are going to be here forever. You're not going to be here forever. I don't care how much weight you lose. I don't care how much makeup you put on. When the Lord says for you to come home, He's going to call you home. You're going to come home. So we need to be ready for that place, not so ready for this place. And we put all of our effort into this place, and we don't put enough effort into that place. And that's what we need to be doing. We are raised with Christ, and that's where our focus needs to be. Verse 2 says, we are to set our minds on things above. So Colossians 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on the things of the earth. That's where our mind should be set on, not the things of the earth. Now turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19. Scripture you're all very familiar with. So Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, and your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now listen to verse 24. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God, and it says mammon, but we can say the world. But we can say, well, Pastor, but you know, I have things to do. I got to make a living, and all those things are very true that we all have to do that. Yes, we have to live in this world, but remind yourself that you're not of this world. This is not your home. This is not where you belong. The scripture says that we are all looking for a continuing city, because this is not going to continue in the way that it is today. Too many Christians live on the earth and have their minds set on the earth. Let me tell you, living for heaven is for today, and it's not for the future. I want to say that again. Living for heaven is for today. It's not for the future. You can't say, well, you know, I'm going to wait 10 years. That's what a lot of young people do. They say, well, you know, I've got my whole life out ahead of me. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You need to be living for heaven today, no matter what your age is. Because you don't know when the Lord is going to call us home. And we're going to see in the scripture today that yes, we are living in the last days. Remember on the prophetic calendar, the only thing that's left to take place right now is the rapture of the church. We don't have anything else that we need to be waiting on. We don't have anything else that we need to be seeing that we're going to see take place before the Lord Jesus Christ comes. We're living in that day that He could call us home at any day, any moment, and any time. And I'll never forget, and you've heard me say it before, Joe would say, well, Leah, what happens if the Lord calls us home and we're starting this church and we don't have it done? Who cares? We're going to heaven, Joe. We don't have to put up another board. We don't have to drive another nail. Let's go on to glory. That's where we want to be, is in glory. Amen? Stand for the Lord. That's, we praise His name. This book, you know, the hymn book, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, it's all about Him. This book is God's revelation to mankind, and it's His revelation to you. As pastors, we want you to love us. We want you to be connected to us. But more so, I want you to love God, and I want your connection to God be much more stronger than your connection is to me. You see how important that is? Everything that the church does needs to be setting an example to connect people in their relationship with their Heavenly Father. We want people to come in the back door, not just because they like to hear Leo preach, or not just because they like to see Leo get excited. We want people coming in the back door because they feel the presence of God, because their connection is to the Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's what we want. That's what we want our church to be. We want it to be a Holy Ghost-filled church, filled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We want to see people slain in the Spirit. We want to see people healed. We want to see people delivered. Our God is an awesome God. He wants to meet the needs of His people. Amen? Amen. I'm going to lose my voice if I'm not careful. We want you to be connected to God. Everything we do, the church, needs to be about connecting people to God and His Word. We must never lose sight of that. Now go back with me to 1 Timothy. Back to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, but we're going to back up a little farther and we're going to go to verse 1. So 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. In verse 1, you're going to hear more about this in the next few weeks, but for today, there are only two faiths in this world, two faiths. Faith in God through Christ, and the other faith, the other religion, is man's faith. It's his religion. So think about it. There are only two religions in this world. You can say, well, there's Buddhist, and there's the Muslim faith. We could go on Hinduism. We could go on all these different religions, but really there's only two religions in the world. When you stop and think about it, you're either following God or you're following man. Because all these other religions are following man. They're not following God. And you can say, well, Pastor Leo, how can you be so convinced that you're following God? Because we have God's Word that is documented, that people give their life for, that the living example of the Lord Jesus Christ is an historical fact that no one can deny. No one can deny. This is the truth of God's Word. This is the revelation of our God to each and every one of us today. We stand on this Word because it is true, because it is from heaven, because it is pure, because it is without mistake, it is without void. It is the living Word of God. And anybody else that believes any other book, you have just fell into the category of verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Somebody says, well, I go to this other church and they don't believe in doctrines of demons. Let me tell you, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We wrestle against powers and principalities. Anybody behind a false religion, it's a demon. It's a spirit of darkness that is behind that. It's not the spirit of the truth. So there's only two religions. You're either following God or you're following man. So look at in the last days, you will see many in the church leave to do what? To follow man. So when you look at verse 1, now the Spirit expressly says that in the latter times. Do you see people departing from their faith today? I shared this in CE this morning, that we live in post-Christianity. Think about that, post-Christianity. When you and I were growing up, you know, I was the same age as Opie Taylor. Remember that? I could have been Opie Taylor. And everybody was laughing in the church. Yeah, you could have been Opie Taylor. I'd been rich, right? That was the day I lived. That was the day that I raised up during that period of time. What do we see that's happened in the church since then? The church has stopped preaching the Word. The church has stopped believing the Word. The church has stopped standing on the Word. And people just started going out. And there's other generations that are raised up and they don't have any faith. They don't have any background. They don't have any history of their grandfather or their great-grandfather or their mother and father going to the house of the Lord. How are they growing up? They're growing up in man's belief. They believe in themselves. They believe that the world is going to take care of them. The world's going to do all these things. It's man's belief. Have we seen that expressly in the latter days? We're living in the latter days, and the answer is yes, we have. Pointing to what? That we are in the last days. So if we are going to make a New Year's resolution, let's make one God focused instead of earthly focused. Heaven focused rather than earth focused. Let's do godly exercises instead of physical exercises. Yes, it's okay to do those physical exercises. It's good for you to be involved in those things, to take care of yourself. But they do never outweigh the godly exercises that we need to do and what we need to be about. What is the godly exercises? His word, prayer, and fellowship. What are your spiritual goals for 2023? Has anybody said anything about any spiritual goals in your own life? Some people say, well, I want to lose 10 pounds. I want to quit smoking. I want to do this. I want to do that. And many times we will try to do those things, and on day 2 of January, we have already failed at those things. Why? It's because we try to do them in the flesh. Let's start doing godly things in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, and let's put our goals in the Spirit, and the Lord will unction us, and He will help us to make those goals be a reality in each and every one of our life. There's not a one of us in here today that doesn't need to spend more time in the Scripture, including your pastors. I mean, come on, we just need to be honest with ourselves. Are you spending every day, some time during that day in the Word of God? Set it as a goal, 2023, I'm going to spend time in the Word of God. And sometimes we will listen to things and sometimes we will look on our phones, but I think that this book is something precious that we need to be opening on a daily basis. Because it is a living Word of God. And because it is a living Word of God, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, as Hebrews 4 says, and it's living. And it's going to cause a reaction in our life because it's speaking to our life through the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Everyone needs to be involved in this book in 2023, and you're going to hear a lot more about this in the next coming weeks. To be involved in the Word. God's revelation to you is the Word. He speaks to you through the Word. He speaks to us through how? Also by the Holy Spirit. But He speaks to us through the Word and through the Holy Spirit. So what does the word sanctification mean? The word sanctification means He's going to cleanse us. He's going to separate us from the world. How is He going to cleanse your life of the dross that's in your life if you're not spending time in prayer, seeking the anointing of the Holy Spirit, nor spending time in His Word? It won't happen. You'll get a little brushed off on you here this morning. Because everybody says when they go to church, you know, I didn't feel like going to church, but when I left, I felt a lot better about going to church. You know why you felt better? Because of the power of the anointing of the Word and the power of the anointing of the Spirit in your life, it does a work of cleansing, even if you're only in here a half an hour. Because that's how God's Word works. But think about that you're doing that a half an hour, 45 minutes your church on Sunday, but think about when you're doing that every day in your life. Every day you're taking that half hour, 45 minutes to spend time in the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Let the Holy Spirit cleanse your life. Let the Word of God cleanse your life and let the Holy Spirit speak to you through the Word of God. That's what it's all about. You and your relationship with the Heavenly Father, not you and your relationship with Crossroads Gospel Church, even though I think that's a wonderful thing. It's all about your relationship that you have with God. Amen. I'm out of juice. Will you stand with me today? We're going to pray. God, You are so good and so wonderful. We just feel Your anointing starting out the new year. And we just praise You for Your goodness. This is going to be a wonderful year at Crossroads Gospel Church. We just think that You've done everything. We just believe that You're only getting started of what You want to take place. What do You want to happen? We're going to see a lot of people saved in 2023. We're going to see a lot of people healed in 2023. We're going to see a lot of people delivered and a lot of people baptized in the Holy Spirit in 2023. If you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, receive it in Jesus' name. Receive it in Jesus' name. For those of you that that want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, I pray that in the name of Jesus right now, where you're standing, right where you're at, you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you will give the evidence of speaking in tongues. He wants to do that in my life, your life, and everyone's life. He wants to power up the church. And the only way we're going to get it powered up is to get it gassed up. And the only way we can get it gassed up is get full with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. Father, be with this church family. Open the windows of heaven. Pour out your blessings on them. They are such good people. They love you so much. And Father, there's not anything I want restrained from them. I want you to open the windows, pour out your blessings upon them. And Father, bless each and every one to the fullness of your capacity, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, be with this church family today and the days to come. If they're going to meet with family, be with their family. And I pray if they're with family that doesn't know Jesus, that people will feel the presence of God reflecting off of their lives into them. I pray that, Father, you would be with us if we're on the road. Your traveling mercies would be upon our lives. We ask that you'd go with us. You would bring us back as soon as we can be here to be in fellowship and be with one another. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. You are dismissed.